Man, you may be seated if you can. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate you and all you do. Awesome. Awesome. Wonderful. Just something about being in the house of God, amen, with other believers. And y'all multiplied. I know some of you guys walked in, and the pastor was outside, and you're like, oh, snap, I came in late. And the pastor's right there. Yeah, I saw you. I'm just playing, kind of. So, my name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. So thankful that you're here this morning. It's good to have you. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Okay, even if it's not, it's going to be. Amen. We're going to get in God's word. It's going to be our strength. Thank you, ushers, greeters, sound team, all y'all up there. Thank you for everything. Thank you for joining us live right now on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you for everybody on the stage worshiping. And thank you just for everybody that, I know there's children's workers right now that barely ever get any praise, but man, it's so wonderful to be able to be used by God. It's an honor. If you feel called into some sort of ministry here at First Home Bible, I want to encourage you. Right? We're not here to sit on pews. We're here to get involved. Amen? We're all ambassadors for Christ. All of us. I just happen to be the pastor in this capacity, and God can take this from me at any moment. I am just willing to do whatever he wants, but all of us are called by God to do whatever God has called us to do. Right? It's not just me, or you don't have to just be on staff. You just have to love Jesus. Right? And then you have to love Jesus. Then you have to have an open heart to do what he says to do. Amen? And if you don't think that you have anything to give, come talk to me. I'll listen to the Holy Spirit, and I guarantee you we can find something that God can use you for. I guarantee it. Everybody has a gift, right? Amen. Amen. Well, did I already say who I was? Yeah? Okay, good. All right. If you don't know who I am, replay this, and I'll tell you. Hallelujah. I got some cool announcements. Y'all ready for some wonderful things? I got some major, awesome announcements. You ready? Come on. I'm going to save them for next week. I'm just playing. I'm going to do them right now. I want to see what happened. That was kind of fun. All right. After meeting with the Board of Elders on August 3rd, we've been moving forward, and we're trying to hire a part-time youth leader and a full-time associate. Remember all that? Our church has grown 50% in the last 4.5 years. That's a lot of growth. It was like around 100 people. Praise the Lord. Amen. But First Open Bible staff needs some help. Help me. Help me. Please help me. God, send somebody. They're on their way. Amen? They're on their way. I'm going to announce two things. First, I'm very excited to announce that we've talked and we're pretty much at the hiring process right now for a full-time connection pastor. They'll be starting most likely at the end of November or the beginning of December. I cannot announce who that is yet because he has not informed his current employers of his departure, and they also have to move here. So info is coming soon. Amen? But I'm super excited. Super, super excited. But we also have hired a part-time youth leader for First Open Bible Youth Ministries, and this person will be starting October 4th, right? And they'll be leading the youth that Wednesday, October 7th. Now, let me give you a little information before I ask that person to come up here and we pray over them. This person has been a youth leader before, youth pastor before, has been on youth staff before. This person's called by God. I'm super excited. She is actually goofy, quirky, fun. But most importantly, she's full of the Holy Ghost. She is on fire. And she told me when we were doing an interview that she's not in it for games and fun. Although you need to have games and have fun. Because if that's it, you know, the world's way better at entertaining. We're not called to entertain. We're called to raise up disciples, raise up warriors for God. She says, I'm ready to dig into these kids' lives and raise up warriors, prophesying, praying for their friends, seeing breakthrough, chains falling off. She is full of the Holy Ghost and she's full of fire. And I'm super, super excited that she's going to be joining us. Her name is Katie Hiles. Katie, will you come up, please? Amen. Hi, come on up. She's going to stand right here. We're going to pray over. If you are during the prayer drives, you remember those prayer drives that we did during COVID? Her daddy, Dudley Hiles, was pronounced dead. I mean, the guy was dead. They were going to take them all off. She even paid for the funeral. Paid for. Dead man walking, alive, miracle. Literally on medical records, it says he's a miracle. Right? Amazing. But I'm super excited for them. I mean, there's something flowing from this family right now, right? And I'm super excited for what God is going to use her for in the capacity. See, I believe right now, you know, there's phases, right? There's levels of what God wants to take us. We're stepping into a new phase. And I believe there's a new phase, and it's going to be full of the Holy Spirit. We're going to move in a new anointing, a new presence. I pray for a double portion of what God has given us. I pray there'd be a breakthrough. I cannot wait for what God is going to do. And a lot of times, it might even start with the youth, right? The youth, because they're not afraid to step out. They're not afraid to come to the altar. They're not afraid to go all in. They're not afraid, right? Sometimes adults are too holy. I mean, y'all got Holy Ghost cement in your shoes. I don't know what's going on, but too holy. But man, we can learn from one another. And I'm excited for what God is doing. Church, will you extend your hands? We're going to pray for our new leader starting here very soon. And then we're going to pray for the youth. I pray right now, God, first and foremost, God, you are good. And your timing is amazing. God, it is not my timing because they would have been here a long time ago. It's your timing. And I'm thankful for that, that you're raising up people in positions of authority. You're raising up people in positions of influence, raising up people in positions of leadership. And I pray right now for Katie, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, may she feel the anointing and the power of the presence of God as we just bless her right now. There's nothing special about us other than the fact that, God, we believe your word and your word is true. We believe that if one can send 1,000, two can send 10,000. We got way more than that. God, may you send angels to protect her and her family. She's had a lot of adversity her whole entire life, but God, she understands what it's like to walk through hard times and never waver. I pray that that anointing and that presence falls and flows from her into the teens, the ones that are facing battles right now. God, I pray that the fire of God fills them. I pray for awesome words. I pray for connection. I pray for growth, not only in numbers, but spiritually. I pray for a depth that they've never known before. I pray that right now that the kids will go back into their schools or go into these places full of the fire of God, and no one can say anything different, and they are just so full that things start happening in this city through junior high, through high school, or whatever, God, middle school. It's just flowing right now, and I thank you for her leadership. May you protect her. May you anoint her right now in Jesus' mighty name. We all agree. If you agree, say amen. 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 Thank you, Katie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what's super cool is I think Miss Katie may be the first female youth leader maybe in the history of our church. Who cares, man? If you're anointed by God, I don't care if you're a man or girl. Come on now. Jesus didn't either. Jesus sent lots of women into positions of authority. Maybe you haven't heard those messages. Maybe you haven't read your word lately. Look at some people in there. Remember this lady named Eunice? Come on now. Is there a Eunice in here? You're called by God right now. I don't know. That wasn't prophetic. That was just me. Okay. So those are awesome announcements. I got another cool announcement, right? We're flowing right. We're flowing good right now. Hallelujah. Here's another major announcement. First, I want to thank you for all your prayers and faithfulness, for giving so we can make this happen. God is going to move. I am super excited what's happening at First Open Bible. I'm super excited for what God is doing and the people that God is bringing. It is going to be amazing, and I'm super, super excited. Only God. Only God, man. Only God. Here's another major announcement. We're going to move into a new phase very soon. Phase 3. Now, y'all can't read that, so I'm going to read some of it for you. This will be blasted all over after church. This will be on your app. This will be on Facebook. This will be in your email. If you don't have any of those things, y'all need to get connected. Reach out to the church. Give us your email. If you have Facebook, you need to like our page so you can get all this information. If you don't have our First Open Bible app, download it, right? We want to get you connected. But here's some information that's happening. This is going to happen the weekend of October 3rd and 4th. That's 2 weeks from now. We're calling it a soft opening. Here's the major changes. There will only be Sunday morning services on the weekend, with an overflow room in the fellowship hall. Okay? We want to have as many as we can come over. If you don't feel comfortable being around a bunch of people, that is a spot for you. Or if you're going to come in late and we've already filled the sanctuary full as we can get safely, then you'll be going over there. We'll have it on a big screen, speakers going. I'll have a board of elder there every week overseeing it. And it's like you're watching at home, all right? Home people, y'all can come if you want, except you get to be around people. It's going to be pretty sweet. So I'm going to fill this place. We already have chairs ready. We're trying to get as much capacity as we can in here. And then there's the overflow in the fellowship hall. So starting, we'll have one more Saturday service left. Every Sunday morning at 10:30, we will have the big screen live streaming in there. That's going to be awesome. Also this, Wednesday nights will now be reopened from 6:30 to 8. Okay? It's going to be open for small groups, Sunday school classes, Bible studies, and et cetera, et cetera. And any group that wants to lead, any leaders that want to lead, call the office. We want to get you set up. We only have available a certain amount of rooms. So if you want to start meeting regularly on a Wednesday night, we want you to be there. We have some regulations. We have some cleaning things, some sanitizing things that we all have to do. So we want to make sure that you're doing it right. See, we're getting ready for fall and winter. We don't know what's going to happen, but one thing we do know is we must worship together. We got to get back to some regular things. All right, the main service on a Wednesday night is still going to be on Facebook and YouTube. It's still going to be there. There's going to be no kids ministry on Wednesdays. We have that on Sunday mornings. But youth is back in the building again. Hallelujah. In the vault. Woo! So this side of the building downstairs is the children's wing, and this side in the building is the youth wing. So the youth wing will be open. It's called the vaults. And they will all of them will be wearing masks, every single one of them, unless they have a low number and they can be 6 feet apart. Then you don't have to wear a mask if you don't want to. But if you cannot be 6 feet apart, we are going to go down there. Everybody's going to wear a mask, and they're gonna have an amazing time. And there's going to be things that we're going to sanitize, and all the leadership is going to get with me, and we have a whole flow that we need to follow with what the Board of Elders has approved as well. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Woo! If you have any questions, please contact the office. Sherry would love it. If you have any complaints, Sherry would love it. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. Amen. Well, last week, Reverend Kenny Gale did an awesome job filling the pulpit. Amen. I was in Des Moines preaching at a Holy Spirit conference for my friend who's an open Bible pastor. It was awesome. It was the first time I've ever filled a Sunday morning pulpit. I've preached at camps, and I've preached at retreats, and I've preached at a pastor appreciation thing, but I've never filled a pulpit on a Sunday morning. That was a great honor, and it was awesome. It was awesome. I was very blessed to be able to do that, but it's good to be home again, church. It's good to be in the pulpit, ready to preach God's word. Amen, amen, amen. Well, honor. Honor. Honor is a word, sadly, we do not hear very often anymore. Honor is also a word that we do not experience very often anymore either. Do you get your understanding of honor from the world or from the word? The Bible gives many references and even commands about honor. Honor is taught in Scripture, and it is a far different example than what the world teaches about honor. Amen? It's way different. Our September theme is, guess what? Five of y'all got it. Amen. Gold star. Please put Jesus on the felt board. You did excellent. Wonderful job. I pray that this series has been raising the bar of honor in our lives and how we view and understand and participate in everyday honor to God and everyday honor to one another. As a noun, honor in the Bible means to esteem, value, or give great respect. To honor someone is to value them highly or bestow value upon them. Now, the word honor in the Greek means to add value. In the Greek, it means to add value. When you honor something, you elevate it above other things. Now, the antonym or the opposite of honor is what? Dishonor. Y'all can act like you know. What is it? Amen. It means to not show respect, to not show value, to not to treat something as common or menial or less than. Dishonor. You understand that honor is a big deal to God, right? It should be a big thing and a big deal to God's people as well. The Bible gives us commands to honor one another. Romans 12:10 says this in the NLT. If y'all want to open your Bible up, you can open your scripture up to Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read some verses there, but that's one of our main texts today. But what does Romans 12:10 say? It says this: love each other with genuine. Now that word genuine right there, another translation says authentic or real. Love each other with genuine, authentic, real affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Now you understand all authority is God-given, right? All authority is God-given. If you don't believe it, read your word. God places people in positions they wouldn't be there if he didn't want them there. But not all authority is godly. That's where we get tripped up. Honor is not something that must be earned. It is something we should give. Everyone, can you, church, say everyone? Everyone deserves to be honored. Peter says it very well here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. It says, honor all people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I want to break this down. I looked some of these words up, and I want to break this down for you. Honor all people. Respect all people. Give all people dignity. Now, what comes after people? What's that thing right there? What's that called? A period. What does a period do? It ends something. That is a statement. That is a word from God right there. Honor, respect, and give dignity to all people. Done. Now it says love the brotherhood. What does that mean? The spiritual family, the church. Love the church. Love God's people. Fear God. Another word for fear that's used here is revere. That's rich. Revere God. Love him, fear him, love him, honor him, understand his authority. Revere God. And honor the king. Who's the king in this verse? What does that represent? Do you know? Huh? Somebody said it. The government. Say, what? Mm-hmm. See, we don't understand this time in this day and age because they lived in a monarchy. They understand a king. It's not a big K. If it was a big K, that would be the king. That's a little K. We live in a democracy. So we don't really understand authority in itself. I'm thankful for the democracy, trust me. But God's kingdom is not a democracy. If it were a democracy, y'all wouldn't have voted for Jesus. It's truth. How do I know that? Who killed Jesus? The church killed Jesus. The religious killed Jesus. Honor the government. Come on now. I've titled today's message, The Spirit of Dishonor. We might be feeling it right now. Let me tell you, that's hard to honor the government. Especially right now. Right? Both sides. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care what it says. Whatever kind of mail you get in the mail, right? The spirit of dishonor. For generations now, we have been baptized in dishonor. So much so that we have been desensitized to what honor actually looks like. We feel like everyone doesn't deserve our honor until they've earned it. I don't know if you, church, look at me real quick. We feel like everyone doesn't deserve our honor until they've earned it. You know what I prayed for this week? I prayed to offend you. Offend your flesh. Because as I was writing this, my flesh got so offended. Where does most of this come from that we don't deserve, people don't deserve our honor until they've earned it? This is where it comes from. People having their right to their own opinion, their right to however they want to be, their right to however they want to live, their right to say whatever they want to say. The mindset that is taught is this: you are guilty before proven worthy, worthy of my honor. So when you confront something that is dishonorable and you start to present the kingdom of God's value system of honor, many people today respond in fear and in anger. Why? Because they don't want to be controlled. You can't tell me what to do and what not to do, or how to act or how to talk. Okay. The word can. The word does. See, being honorable is very uncomfortable. It is much more comfortable to be dishonoring. Why? Because the nature of the kingdom of God is honor, and the nature of man is dishonor. The kingdom of God flows from honor and authority. That's how the kingdom of God flows. It is how God moves every purpose and plan he has on earth. He likes to do his will through honorable behavior from honorable sources. Think about in the Old Testament, think of some stuff. If you grew up in church, you remember some of these things. You remember these three Hebrew boys? Even the wicked king they honored. The wicked, evil, awful king and government they honored until it dishonored God. How about the guy that was praying three times in a window because he wouldn't worship the king at the time? Daniel, you remember that guy? But how did he treat the king? With honor. Even the man that had to throw him in because of the law that he wrote, because he got tricked through his own friend into a den of lions, he honored to the very end, and even when he came out, as he honored God. The word honor in Greek means to add value. So to dishonor someone means you take away their value. You subtract from another person. If you have a habit of dishonor, you live, interact, and speak in a way that takes away from people's worth. You don't just degrade others. You subtract from who they actually are. You decrease their worth. You take away their value. You destroy the reason why they are right there in front of you. Now, you see this over and over again right now. I mean, we have sitcoms about it, and we laugh and think it's funny. Over and over again, you see this kind of thing done to parents, to family members, to bosses, to city officials, political authorities, police officers, foreigners, pastors, and teachers, and it goes on and on and on, and they do this on the daily. But if you honor others, you are literally making them bigger people. And it's okay to make people bigger that are not like you. It's okay to make people bigger that are not in your preference. It's okay to make people bigger and you don't agree with them. Do you remember that time in your life where you could have a disagreement and still love the person? Because the world has no idea about that. If you don't agree with me, you must be the enemy. That's what's taught right now. That is not a kingdom mindset or principle. That is of the world. Be careful, church. Be careful. Amen? The spirit of dishonor has been around since Adam and Eve. Since they listened to the enemy over the one that walked with them in the cool of the day every day. Dishonor starts in the mind, and then it works its way into the heart, and then it comes out of the mouth or actions. Church, where does dishonor start? In the mind, and it flows down to the what? And then it comes out of the what? Mouth. Now, you heard this before, and I'm going to say in the King James so you know it's holy. I'm actually King James the whole thing up, right? From the overfloweth of the hearteth, the mouth speaketh. Remember that verse? You know it's holy when you say this, right? Straight from God, hallelujah. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth sends a message, an email, a text message, Facebook, a Twitter, tweet, Instagram. Out of the overflow of the heart, however you want to talk or whatever your actions are, it's speaking. It starts in the mind. Jesus dealt with mindsets of dishonor. Now, if you turn to Mark chapter 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses. Jesus dealt with mindsets of dishonor. Mark 2, I'm going to read the NLT starting in verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. Hallelujah. Come on. Fill the house of God. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived and carried a paralytic man on the mat. Now, this is where we always focus. One thing, wherever Brent is, he did an awesome job. 2 weeks ago, he told us a story in the Bible, and then he found the story in the story, right? We're going to find a story in a story. Four men arrived carrying a paralytic man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof over Jesus' head. Then they lowered the man down on a mat right in front of Jesus. Jesus, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? It's easier to say to a paralytic man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat and walk.' So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralytic man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." How many times do you take something supernatural that happens and you dishonor it by humanizing it in your mind? "Oh, I don't know if so-and-so really got healed. I'm sure the doctor did it. I'm sure medicine did it. I don't know if that was really God because it didn't fall into what I grew up knowing. I don't know if that was really God because of blah, blah, blah," whatever's in your head. You humanize it. How many times do we take something or someone that is being used by God and dishonor them by humanizing them in our minds? And he's too young to preach. He hasn't lived life long enough. He doesn't know. "Oh no, so-and-so, she's had a really bad childhood. How could she be used by God? She's still dealing with this and that." I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and you dishonor what God is doing by your mindset. One thing you'll never find in a season of faith is a mindset and an attitude of dishonor. Dishonor is a major tool the devil uses in people's lives to make sure that they continue to live a restricted life, a non-healthy, crippled life. Who was the most crippled in this story? Some teachers of the religious law. Who are those people? Church people. The most crippled people in this story were the people that never got healed because of their dishonor. Church people. See, the dishonor you think about, the dishonor you meditate on, it really matters. Honor is uncomfortable. Y'all feeling a little uncomfortable right now? Praise God. Who brought steel-toed shoes? I welcome the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Man, he's got to offend my flesh, or I will never see the Spirit rise up in me. I never will. You just want a word to tickle your ears? There's plenty of churches in Cedar Rapids. But we got to be honoring what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. And trust me, there's a spirit of dishonor that must break by the power of Jesus. It cannot infiltrate into the church any longer. It cannot be done and taught and spoken with. It's like we're speaking out of two sides of our mouth. Praise God and curse them. Come on now. There's a lady that just died that was extremely liberal. And what did conservative people do? To dishonor her. She's not even buried. Her family can't even weep. And you're already talking about who's going to step in her position. Come on now, church people. Children of God, where's your honor? Imagine, raise your hand if you're married in here. Imagine your spouse dies. And before you can bury that person, you go out and marry somebody right away. How does that make your children feel? Think about families. Think about honor. This lady's children are still alive. Honor them with your words and your actions, but most of all, with your mind so it doesn't get somewhere it doesn't need to be. There's so much dishonor in the world right now. It's making God sick. It's not okay. God's people, we must be different. God's word says you must be different. The only crippled people in that story were the people that went to church. Honor is uncomfortable because honor is a practice and honor is a discipline. It's not easy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this, physical training is good. Right? You're like, Pastor, you need to get on a treadmill. Okay, I get it. It's true. Physical training is good. We got to, you know, this is a temple. We got to take care of it. And don't be like, well, I just need to make more of God's presence. That's why I keep eating. No, you need to take care of it. Come on now. I don't know if that's from the Holy Ghost or just the flow of my personality. I'm sorry about that. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Promising benefits of this life and the life to come. See, godly patterns and godly disciplines carry godly promises and godly rewards. Now, you know God's really good at this, right? He's really good at giving you things that you need in packages you did not expect. Okay. He said, okay. Yeah. West Coast boy coming to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where they have an inland hurricane. Yeesh. See, God is good at putting things you need in packages you don't expect. See, God seldomly makes things arrive in packages you requested. Why? Because if he did give you things that you requested and packages that you requested, all you got to do is receive it. Well, praise God. Got a lot of lazy believers. All I do is want to receive and receive, receive. You were always meant to be like Jesus, and all Jesus did was give, 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 give. What y'all want to do is receive, receive, receive. Come on, that's for somebody. But God wants us to go through some changes. The church word is sanctification. I'm be sanctified by God, right? I'm sanctified. Make me holy, set me apart. Man, it's gonna stink, y'all. You know that. Because your flesh is gonna have to be crucified. You're gonna have to pick up that cross daily. Some days are good, some days are bad. Some days are sinful, and some days are holy. Because you didn't pick up your cross that morning and carry it. See, God wants you to do training for godliness to help you develop a value system that is kingdom-minded. All right, church, listen to me on this one. Look at me. whomever or whatever you are struggling with right now to honor, whoever it is or whatever it is that you're struggling to honor, God is wanting to help you develop a mindset and a heart to honor through them or through that situation. You have to work hard at things that have great value, because valuable things have a high cost. That's why they're valuable. Here's the cost of honor. Selfish pride. Here's the reward of honor. Eternal and temporal blessings. Put on the spirit of honor and get rid of the spirit of dishonor in the name of Jesus. Let's go down four chapters and let's read another story with Jesus. Mark chapter 6. First six verses. Jesus left that part of the country and he returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, the church, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles?" Then they, what's that word, church? Look up here, scoffed. What's that word mean? It means speaking about him with dishonor. It means making Jesus less than. Then they scoffed. "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended, and they refused to believe in him. When Jesus told them, he told them this, "A prophet is honored everywhere, except his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, their dishonor, he," what's that word, church, say aloud, "couldn't." Jesus couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And Jesus, he was amazed at their unbelief, at their dishonor. Wow. They were deeply offended. They refused to believe in him. They scoffed. Listen, if you're easily offended, you're the most likely to be dishonorable. Because offense and dishonor, they coincide, they go together. And an offended person will dishonor to justify their offense. Let me say that again. An offended person will dishonor to justify their offense. Put on Facebook, put on CNN, put on Fox News. It's everywhere. And a Christian should never go a long journey of offense. Never go on a long journey of offense. Why? Because you cannot be led by the Holy Spirit and an offended heart at the same time. It's impossible. So going back to Mark chapter 6 that we just read about, these people in Jesus' hometown, they had a disapproval of him because of their disapproval of who Jesus was or who they expected him to be or what they remember him to be like, because of those things, they denied him as Messiah. They missed the blessing. They missed the healing. They missed the whole thing. They missed being made whole. They missed it all because they're blinded by dishonor. And they missed heaven itself. They missed Jesus right in front of them. Heaven right there. They missed it all because they're blind by dishonor. Now I want to notice something else here that's interesting about this part of scripture. You have the word honor and you have the word home, right? And they're together, but in a negative sense. A prophet is honored everywhere but at home with his people, with the ones that are close to him. Say what? Jesus couldn't do any miracles for them because of their offense, because of their dishonor. Jesus, the Son of the living God. We just sang about him. We come every time to church, right? You might even have it on 101 or whatever the stations are. You might be popping in CDs or plugging in your phone or doing whatever, and you're listening and you're singing to Jesus, my Savior, my Messiah, the one that set me free. Hallelujah. These people are teaching, right? They're in the synagogue. They're in church. Jesus couldn't do any miracles because of their offense and their dishonor. Jesus, the Son of the living God. Not that he wouldn't do it. Not that he shouldn't do it. Not that Jesus didn't even want to do it. Jesus could not heal them. He could not set them free. Wow. Why? Why? Because dishonor restricts the power of God from moving upon his people. That's why. It's like taking a hose and it's pouring out a bunch of water and you just crank. Dishonor, gone. I don't know why I'm so thirsty for God. Look at the hose. Look at your dishonor. See, this is speaking to us right now, church. If we cannot teach, practice, and hand down the principle of godly honor in our church or even in our homes, then we will never be healed or we'll never be set free by the power of Jesus, because we'll be blinded with dishonor, and Jesus cannot heal us. Right? We say, I want revival. I want revival. We must have a revival and a reformation. If we, you know, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we quote it and quote it and quote it and quote it, and that's all we want. We want it. We want it. It'll never, ever happen if the church does not only understand but do honor. Because Jesus cannot heal us. He cannot heal our land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is not to the world, by the way. It's to the church. If my people, they ain't, unless Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life, that's not God's children. I believe future children, man, we got to preach the gospel and let them realize, but right now they're lost. If my people who are called by my name will humble, they will honor God. He cannot heal us. He cannot heal us if we have dishonor. Lord, break the environment, atmosphere, and the spirit of dishonor in our homes today, in your home today, God. Lord, please break it in our minds, hearts, words, and attitudes of your people. You know, in many cultures all over the world, honor is taught and instilled into everybody. Not just Christians, but like an actual culture of people. Some continents, some countries, some tribes. They teach honor. They teach that all people are valuable and all people are important. Because in many cultures, other people is all that they have. But it's not like that in America, is it? It's also not like that in God's house many times with God's people either. Think of all the people that have left a church dishonorably. Maybe that's been you. You know what shocks me about church? People, the world should be learning about honor because we understand the principle and the kingdom of honor. What always blows my mind, when Pastor Cody was here, I don't know how many people called him Cody. Now, y'all went to school, right? Let's say you had a teacher, her name was Jane Robinson. Would you say, you meet Jane and you go to school, and, hey, Jane? Hey, Jane? No, that's Mrs. Robinson. That's Mrs. And you're out in the streets and you're like, hey, there's Jane. No, that's Mrs. Robinson, my teacher. Hey, Cody. I have never in my entire life, ever. Now, Pastor Stevens was here last night, and I use him as an example. Does anybody say, hey, there's Chuck. There's Charles. Hey, Charles, buddy. Chum, chum, chum. I mean, if you're family, okay, that might be different. But you realize Pastor Stevens has never been my pastor. I was not here under his authority as a shepherd. I have never called him Charles in my life. That is Pastor Stevens, or pastor. In my entire life, I've never called any pastor I've ever been under, ever, anything other than pastor, ever. Maybe it's because I grew up with a father that's ex-military. Think about this. I say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Oh, please don't do that. No, I'm honoring you. No. I don't want any honor. No, you make me feel old. I am honoring you. I'm sorry, sir. I won't call you sir. Sir. Have a great day, sir. Please don't punch me, sir. Sir, you got a great right hook. Hallelujah. No. I believe in healing. No. Where is the honor? We can't even get it in church. The major honor we see taught in the United States of America right now is a dishonor, because it's an honor for self. Church, the spirit of dishonor has infiltrated and found a home in the hearts of the ones who will be teaching, or should be teaching, the world about the honor found in the kingdom of God. We need a deep washing of repentance in the church today. Holy Spirit, will you pour out again? We need to be washed by your word and your conviction. We've not done a very good job at increasing people's value. We use people. The church is really bad at it. A lot of times, church, you use up the staff. You suck them dry and they go, next. You understand we are all a team. You don't got to get a paycheck from the church to be a part of First Open Bible's leadership. You understand that? Anybody? You understand this? Say amen. You are ambassador for Christ. You're called. If this is your church and this is your home and I am your pastor, I'm your shepherd, you plant your roots here and we work together and we see the kingdom of God advance. And we want people, we want lives set free. We want people to be, who are sick, to be healed. We want to reach out to our community as much as we can. We want to preach the word, get equipped here, go out on fire, set fires for God, tell people about love and show them. And sometimes we can use words. That's who we need to be, all of us. All of us. There's not a single person in this room right now or online that's watching that is not called by God. You are all called by God at different capacities. That's what it means to be part of the body. If we're all moving and we're all the knee, it's gonna be one weird looking body. Let's pick a weirder part, like an earlobe, right? It's like, man, that is one weird body. But that's what we want. The world wants uniformity. The world wants uniformity. It wants everybody to come in, and I want you to agree with me on everything. We all got to look the same. God's kingdom is not like that. You better look different. You better act different, but we must have all the same mindset and the same goals. We believe in unity and the difference. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what background. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care if you, this parent, that parent, whatever. It doesn't matter. If you love Jesus and you believe in the calling of God, we come together as one body, unified. That's where revival's coming. The world right now is splitting and tearing apart everywhere. And the church is going to look with every color, every tribe, every tongue, every nation coming together, and they're going to see a unity that they've never seen before. Wait a second, you don't vote like me? No, I don't vote like you. Okay, big deal. We still serve the same king. Oh, you don't look like me? Okay, that's fine, right? Whatever. It doesn't even matter. It matters that Jesus Christ is Lord and we're all together as one body serving the king. That's what matters. And we honor and love one another. We use people. I'm getting close to being done. I'm just feeling it right now. If you got to go, you can go. You can watch later if you want to, right? I'm not done offending flesh yet, so you still got some more left, right? Hallelujah. You understand that God preaches to me before I preach to you, right? This is my sermon, you get to hear it. Because I've been dishonorable many times in my life. It's wrong. I need to work on it, and I need the power of the Holy Spirit to change me, because you deserve that. God loves you. He died for you. God gave enough honor to you and every single person that not one shall perish, that he died for you on a cross. He honored you with his own life. He gave it all. So at least I can honor you with respect and dignity. I don't care what you maybe said to my face or behind my back. I'm going to honor you. I don't care if you're doing things I don't agree with. I'm going to honor you because you're a person. Try to use people and see what we can get out of them. There's a big difference between honor and flattery. If you honor with the intent to get something else in return, that's called flattery. Honor is honor because it has no expectation. Honor is only honor when you can do it without anything in return. So if you're honoring someone or something and you want to get a promotion or you want to get something from someone or you want to get ahead or you want approval, you want love, you want support, you want finances or whatever it is, that's not honor, that's actually dishonor. Because the heart behind it is deceptive. The godly principle of honor will transform your life and it will align you to God's authority. The principle of dishonor will destroy your life and it will literally take away from everybody around you. Honor, true honor, is uncomfortable and it begins and it brings conviction of the heart with it. If we don't hit dishonor head on, people, even God's people, will be ruined by it for a lifetime. A lifetime. Church, we must be in a season of repentance from dishonor, or we will never see God heal our land, because he cannot heal our land. If the current movement you are behind, or you're supporting, or you're yelling from the rooftops is bringing division, hate, and violence, then you're following a movement of dishonor. I don't care what it is. I don't care who you get behind, what political party or what rant or whatever is going on right now. That is not from kingdom of God. That is from the kingdom of man. It's dishonor. It's destroying and it's wrong. And if you're God's person and you love Jesus, you better love Jesus more than that. You better love him more than that that's going on right now. You better. And we just look on social media. What do you mostly talk about? That's what you really care about. What comes out of your mouth and your actions and out of your paychecks, out of your checks or however you pay, that's what you really value. Followers of Jesus, we don't want to just merely obey God. We have to catch his heart as well. Worship team, will you come? When we catch the heart of God, we will no longer see his authority and his principles found in scriptures as just laws. We're going to see them as wisdom, love, and power. Holy Spirit power. What we do with the cross of Christ will determine where we spend all of eternity. Amen? What you do with the name of Jesus in this life will determine where you go for the next life, for the rest of eternity. But the way that you live this life thereafter, accepting Christ as believers, will determine how you spend that eternity. And God's kingdom is one of honor and authority. Do you remember what the word of honor in the Greek means? Anybody? Add value. You add value. You add value. How many people right now would love if somebody would add some value to my life? Come on, raise your hand. I want to be honored today. When we honor something, we elevate it above other things. And honor has the power to lift another up, to change a situation, and destroy the works of the devil. Amen? All right, next week, if you show up, hallelujah. I'm believing Sister Sheets and Brother Pillow is who's going to preach to me next Sunday, hallelujah. Ah, oh, praise God. Oh, there's the usher. His name's Joe, Cup of Joe, hallelujah. Usher me in. I just made that up. That's pretty good. Amen. Gave me a mic. Next week, if you show up, which I pray that you do, and I pray that you bring somebody else because God's doing something. He's breaking things off. He's breaking things off. See, God has given me a strategy for the last 3 months. We are going through things. And right now, honor is what we must catch. And if we don't catch honor, it doesn't matter what we're going to preach next month. Because we're really going to hit on things that are important. Because your vote that's coming up is super important. It's going to change the history of the United States of America. What do you stand behind? What do you believe in? I'm going to preach from the word, and then you can vote how you want to vote. Because once you hear it, you're convicted. Once you know the truth, and you don't do the truth, it says that's called sin. We're going to preach the truth. But who cares if you don't have any honor? It's all about your preference, what you grow up with your own mindset. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on Jesus, right? He gave it all. He didn't care about his preferences. If this cup can pass from me, let it. But it's not my will, but yours to be done. We need God's will, and God's will is this. He must break the dishonor in the church now. And if he doesn't, he will never heal our land. And trust me, it don't matter who gets in the office starting whenever that starts with the vote in November. It does not matter because this world will fall apart that we know it. Doesn't matter who's sitting in that seat. But if the church rises up with honor and starts teaching things, God will heal our land. Because he cannot if you don't. I just see like a Holy Spirit muzzle going on mouths right now. I just see it. I see it. I just got this vision of people just, and they're just full of anger. And you understand we don't live in the Old Testament, so because you've been wronged, you don't wrong. Because you've been wronged, you turn the other cheek. And if they need to go a mile, you go 2 miles. If they want something from you, give them your cloak. Give them anything. You give it to them. That's the principle of the kingdom of God. But I just see these angry people because something has gone on and you're angry about something. And so you're just spitting fire. But it's not Holy Spirit fire. It's not the devil. And you're just spitting it and you're spitting it. And God just comes and he's coming right now and he's muzzling that. And not only is he muzzling that, he is just holding you. He just goes, shh, come here. And he's just holding you. I don't know what's broken in you right now, whoever that's for. But God's got you. You might be full of anger and hurt and frustration. There might be something you've been wronged. Unfortunately, this doesn't sound real kind, but welcome to life. We all been wronged. Jesus was more wronged than anybody. What did he do? He honored to the very end. God loves you. He wants to set you free. Church, will you stand? Next week, when we close out our honor series, we're all going to be putting some honor into practice. It's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to do the word, to live the word. We need God to move. Father, we just thank you for this word. I know it's shaken up, maybe even the core of who we are, the core of our current frustration, the core of our current dissatisfaction, the current whatever it is. I know you're shaking some things up, but God, we're going to be people of honor no matter what happens to the very end. I'm reminding your word. It says, oh, death, where is your sting? What does that mean? It means that we are going to go to heaven even if we die. But it also means something else, that there's going to be a time that even unto death, we might have to fight with honor and be dishonored over and over and over again, because there's a time coming where persecution is going to be so great that we're either going to jump in their boat or we're going to jump in the boat of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it offends our flesh. May our spirit rise up over our flesh right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to give your heart to him or you'd like to rededicate your life, first and foremost, he honored you by dying for you 2,000 years ago. Even if you're the only person, he would have done it. He took a beating for you because he wants you to be made whole and that your sickness and diseases will be made whole in Jesus' name. Then he took nails when he could have called a legion of army angels down to destroy everything going on. He chose to honor you because he loves you. He took nails and he took that cross so your sins and your death would be upon that cross. And because he's no longer in the grave 3 days later, that he rose from that grave, the power of the Spirit of God rose him from the grave, he is the only one that you can worship on this planet that is alive, that says that they're a God. Because he's the true and living God. He is the risen Savior. And that power that rose Jesus from the grave can be the same power that you have in your heart. If you would just say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I'm tired of doing things on my own. I want to do it your way, not my way. I don't understand honor at all. Please teach me the principle of honor and respect and dignity to all people, even if they spit on me. Even if they act like they hate me, I will honor them because I honor you first. If that's you today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, will you just raise your hand? I just want to agree with you in prayer. That's it. Anybody in here that wants to give their heart to Christ? Maybe a rededication to say, God, I need that. Rededicate my life to you, Jesus. Last chance. I'm going to sweep through and look. Anybody? I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Rededicate my life. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, before we go and sing this last song, everybody in church, if God has stirred your heart, the altars are open. Make where you're at an altar if you need to. But if you just leave and God is asking you to repent, you're going to miss it. Big time. Big time. Don't do it. Don't. If you must stay, it's okay. If you have kids and you have to repent, we understand. We will hold your kid as long as we can. And if I need to and there's a time that you're spending, I will order pizza for your children. I will. I told them that down there. That's what we'll do. We want what God has. It's about his agenda and his authority. And we want to honor him. If that's you, as we sing this last song, feel free to come and ask God. See, if you lay something down at the altar, you'll get altered. You're going to lay something down and pick something up. It's going to be of him. We love you. Let's go change the world. Why? Because the world changer lives in us. Amen. Let's worship.